I'm Makini Smith. After going through a divorce, my sister passing away, experiencing narcissistic abuse, and some significant health scares, I realized through sharing my story that I wasn't alone in my suffering. Suffering, subjective distress generated by the experience of being out of balance. In a deep dive to holistically heal mind, body, and soul is where I discovered peace, clarity, and connection. It is impossible to be truly wise without some real life hardship, and we cannot develop post-traumatic wisdom without making it through, and most importantly, through it together. Social connection builds resilience, and resilience helps create post-traumatic wisdom, and that wisdom leads to hope. Hope for you and others witnessing and participating in your healing, and hope for your community. A healthy community is a healing community, and a healing community is full of hope because it has seen its own people weather, survive, and thrive. Dr. Bobby Peterson is a visionary dentist, entrepreneur, and advocate who is changing the game in oral healthcare. As the inventor of the first electric toothbrush, Big Mouth Toothbrush, created by a Black woman, Dr. Bobby has made history in the dental industry. Her groundbreaking invention has revolutionized oral healthcare and made it easier than ever for people to take care of their teeth. Dr. Bobby's groundbreaking work has caught the attention of major media outlets across the country, including Shark Tank, Good Morning America, Forbes, Fox News, and more. So please welcome to the show, Dr. Bobby Peterson.
Thank you, McKinney. So thank great you. To be here.
I appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Yes, I'm excited. Was looking forward to it.
Yes, I'm excited to jump in because there's so many different levels of health that we get to discuss today.
Yes,
all types of wellness from, you know, oral health, physical health, mental health, all of that. So before we jump straight in, I like to ask my icebreaker question, because as children, we have these vivid imaginations of who we want to be and what we want to be when we grow up. And then society comes in and tries to limit us and, you know, knocks us off that imagination pedestal and tells us to be realistic. So I would love to know, before you got to where you are today, before society came in and tried to limit your beliefs, who and what did Dr. Bobby Peterson want to be?
I would have to say that I wanted to be some sort of superstar. I used to love when I was younger. So I'm the youngest of eight, right? So all of my older siblings, because we were raised by a single mom, we would have to entertain ourselves. So we really liked, myself and my sisters would go and sing the songs to different musicals in the front room for entertainment. We would listen to the radio and create music videos before music videos were even really popping at the time, you know? My brother and I used to, you know, battle to see who knew more of the lyrics to certain hip hop songs. Like I always kind of saw myself in entertainment. My mom also kept us in like lots of extracurricular activities, dance classes. And we had a little spiel with the YMCA, but I don't know if you know this, but I'm pretty tall. So you can't be tall. You can't be a gymnast and be tall. I was 12, taller than the instructors. It was like that didn't work. But said all that to say, she kept us very active. So I saw myself in some sort of like performance role. But at the same time, I had a parent that always said, okay, you need to be a doctor or a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, when you grow up, she kind of trained us to say that. What do you want to be? I'm going to be a doctor or a lawyer. My father would say, with that mouth, you got to be a lawyer. Like, you know what I mean? So I think I definitely had a very vivid imagination. Growing up, I always had a very outgoing, very present type of personality. Like, you know, when I walk in a room, you know, you see me or you hear me. But like you said, society kind of starts to play a role in that as you get older and sick. You know what I mean? The real world is not like all those movies and theatrics that we were recreating when we were younger. So, and like I said, A lot of my siblings, like they were, you know, heavy into books and things like that. So we read a lot. We spoke about, you know, current events a lot in my household. Lots of Black history, lots of Black power. And that love for, you know, school and science and math, you know, turned me into somewhat of a geek. So that should give you a little description of, you know, how I, the type of person I was, kind of growing up loud, but kind of sort of geeky. And that evolved into the socialite that I am today.
I see so much there that I want to unpack because,
okay,
you know, growing up in a household where you're being instilled and programmed with the beliefs of being a doctor or a lawyer and, you know, having books around and access and information and Black history and all those things, obviously, they affect who you become. So let's start with, what's your earliest childhood memory that defines who you are today?
It would definitely have to be something with my siblings. We were extremely animated. So I think that the character I played amongst my siblings and my family would be, you know, the person with the big mouth. I'm the person that can't really keep a secret, but would bit things out innocently, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of like the typical youngest of the family, it's like, okay, my family calls me Candy. Don't tell Candy so-and-so-and-so-and-so unless you want the whole house to know it. You know what I mean? Because obviously running around like, oh yeah, somebody stole Jimmy's jacket today. You know, like, be like, what? Where's your coat? You know? So I'm not sure if I described that to give you like a feel of my personality, if I described that the right way. My earliest childhood memories were pretty much what I was describing to you earlier about just having a great time entertaining ourselves in the home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bouncing ideas off of each other. My siblings and I are extremely close. My siblings and my family were really close. We have a family call every Sunday at 3 o'clock every Sunday, a Zoom call every Sunday. And we're able to reflect on our week and bounce ideas off of each other. You know, that's how the idea for the toothbrush came up. We'll talk about that later. But that's, you know, we started to like bounce ideas off each other. So it's really, we're very close.
I love that. So I have a girlfriend that has 10 children. So her and her husband have 10 children. Okay.
Wow. I didn't know they still had that many kids nowadays.
And they've only got one set of twins in there. And their kids are very close. Obviously, you know, they live in the same household, but they do a lot of things together. So I'm thinking about what you're saying and you being the youngest of 8 kids, right?
Yeah.
I can see how where you said, you know, you walk in the room and it's like, you got to see me, you got to hear me, because you're raised around that many siblings, right?
Definitely.
You need, there's lots going on. So you need to make sure that you were seen and you were heard, right? Everybody wants to be seen, heard, and understood.
Correct. Very correct.
So I'm thinking about everything that you explained about your upbringing and how that's connected to who you are right now.
Yeah. Yes. So it's kind of like that in connection with one little thing I left out is that we were always raised to believe we can do whatever we want to do. Right. And I have siblings that were great examples for me. So even though there were a lot of us, you know, some of us finished college, some of us didn't, like there's a range, but I always had good role models, like morally, you know, that morally and most of my siblings, you know, did go to college and were pretty much successful. So I always had good role models that kind of paved the way and let me know that I could do whatever I wanted to do, regardless of what outside influences would contribute to my path. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So let's speak to how that's connected to, you know, what you do now, the big mouth toothbrush, you being on Shark Tank. Give us I'm going to say in Canada, we call it the Cold Notes version, but I think in the States, what do you call it?
The Cliff Notes. The Cliff Notes
of how you got to where you are today.
Yes. Okay, so the motivation piece we already spoke about, I have a great support system. Went straight through college, straight through dental school. I didn't even know that I wanted to be a dentist, right? I just knew that I loved science, that I did not want to be a biology teacher. I didn't want to get my PhD in biology. I said, okay, let me just try dentistry, see if I can. Went to Howard, in Howard, they don't really, like general dentistry, Howard is amazing, right? You don't get a lot of hands-on experience. So I did residency. Fast forward, got my lab orthodontics. I knew that I wanted to work for myself. I knew that I wanted to have a future where I could potentially create my own schedule, right? Because I knew that I worked hard for a long time. I wanted to be able to enjoy my life. And the only way that I could felt like I could truly do that is with starting my own practice. So I definitely worked for someone. I finished my residency full time. I also taught. And as I was able to fill up my schedule day by day in my personal practice, I would give my practice one day and take one day away from them and gradually build up a patient population where I was there full time. Okay, I think that was short enough in terms of my office, right? So I'm working, I'm loving it in the streets of New York, and people are coining me the celebrity orthodontist because of the circles that I'm in. So that's going really, really well. And then I'm thinking more, what can I do to get to that next step of entrepreneurship? So a lot of my patients were rappers. So I designed my own line of tooth jewelry called Oral Fixation. And I designed a custom piece with a jeweler for a rapper. His name is Fetty Wap, his production company. And that kind of blew up, right? So I still do the oral fixations, but they are not super custom right now. I kind of stepped back from that a little bit. So then my next adventure was based on the feedback that I got from my hygienists in my practice. So I have a couple of hygienists that work for me. And if you know, when you go to your dentist, the hygienist is the person that really digs into your oral health care in terms of maintenance, right? Mm-hmm. They're the ones that do your cleanings, and they're the ones that make all the notes in the chart to see if your oral hygiene is improving. Okay. So we had a couple of meetings, and I noticed that there was just a higher prevalence of like gingivitis and periodontal disease. Now, kids with braces, I mean, that's the norm for the orthodontic office usually, but my practice is the exception because I treat half adults and half children. So normally it's like 80, 85, 90% children in an orthodontic practice, but because I make my payment arrangements very affordable for adults, I see a lot of adults.
Right.
So we're looking at the overall oral hygiene, and I'm like, okay, we have to do something about this. So I'm like, that's where I came up with the concept for having a wider toothbrush head. Definitely, and I definitely have always been an advocate for electronic toothbrushes. I definitely recommend them to my patients even before I created my own. One of the issues that I did not have, that I did not like, and it was a personal preference, not that smaller toothbrush heads don't work. They definitely work. There's a reason that they have small toothbrush heads. But I just didn't like how small they were getting. Like all the new toothbrushes were getting tinier and tinier and tinier. And I personally just didn't like how they felt. And I'm like, toothbrushes, as a dental professional, toothbrushes don't have to be this small. They don't have to be. I mean, I think people like how they look. They look sleek. They look skinny. Everybody likes skinny. No, I wanted to see what it felt like to have a wider toothbrush. So got with a team of engineers, talked to my siblings on the call, and bounced around a couple ideas. Of course, my brother said, let's name it Big Mouth because he's talking about me. So that's where the name came from. But four prototypes later, we came up with the ideal width of a toothbrush head that could fit in the posterior region of the average size mouth. We launched in January 2022. This is 2024. Yeah, 2022 we launched. Shark Tank has always been one of my favorite shows. When I tell you that we manifested this, like I said this, as soon as I went through all of the back and forth and everything with getting the patent, the name, the business, all of that, there's a lot of back and forth with that. But once I got to that launching point, I knew I wanted to go on one of my favorite shows, which was Shark Tank. Mm-hmm. But we talked about it. I was like telling them, like, look, I'm going to be on Shark Tank. I said, I just need to get some numbers, get some sales under my belt, Leah. You can go on Shark Tank with an idea. You can go on Shark Tank without fails. But from what I observed by watching many, 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 many episodes is that you need to have a proof of a concept. And it's hard to do that accurately without having sales, right? Mm-hmm. Without putting your product on the market. Not saying this is for everybody, but this is just something that I felt. So 6 months into my sale, I'm like, okay, now I'm going to apply. So I applied. And it's so crazy, McKinney, because I almost miss the response email from them. I know they must have thought I was crazy because it took me almost a week because I was looking for something else and it just popped up and I was like, oh my gosh, but I get so many emails. Mm-hmm. Man. So I responded to them that day. They took too long to respond back to me. So I called them a million times. So I got Connie on the phone and it was like a pleasant phone call because speaking to the producer, they were like, oh, remember your product? You have the big toothbrush, right? I was like, yes, that's me. That's me. Can I be on the show? So they took me through all of the stages. And then I ended up pitching in September. But one of the things that people don't know about when you go on that show, I'm not even really sure if I'm supposed to say this, but no, seriously, when you go on the show, there is no guarantee just because you pitch in front of the sharks and just because you get a deal, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to air. Like,
oh, right.
Right. So airing is what boosts, whether you get a deal or not, airing is the big thing. Everybody's like, oh no, getting a deal is the big thing. No, airing and how good or bad your pitch is what is going to attract people to you and to buy your product, but you have got to air. So I guess this is, yeah, you have to. Mm. So the producers, the whole ride, they don't really give you direct answers, right? So I had no idea whether or not my pitch was going to air, and I couldn't speak about it, but it ended up airing the following March. So it aired in March of 2023. So, and they tell you, I think like a month before whether or not it's going to air. So all the way from September until like February, I'm thinking it's not going to air. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm still in negotiations with my deal, but I still can't speak about it. So that was a very stressful time period, but at the same time, gratifying.
Mm-hmm. I can only imagine, like, I can only imagine. I've watched the show and I get stressed out.
Me too. Yeah, me too. It's such a great show though. It is. It's such a great show. And even as an entrepreneur, you're still learning and you still learn from. I still learn by watching that show and learning about other people, other entrepreneurial stories. So,
yes, and so I read that you're renowned as the first Black female orthodontist to invent an electric toothbrush.
I am the first Black person to design an electronic toothbrush. Yeah.
Okay. So I know that. So I'm a huge fan of Dr. Brené Brown, and she always talks about a first only different. And I know that comes with a lot of weight when either you're the first of something, the only of something, or different. And I know, especially for Black women, especially Black entrepreneurs who are doing a thing, right, it's very common for us to either be in spaces or be categorized as very first awesome. Different. Was there any weight that came with that for you?
So I am very proud of that. It wasn't something that I knew beforehand. It was something that I found out during my research of creating the toothbrush, right? I do and still get backlash for having mentioned that on Shark Tank. Now, the only reason I did mention it on Shark Tank was because they wanted me, to account for why I sold out in the month of February. And it took me so long to get more supplies, like why get more inventory. And that was, if you look at the pitch, that's the only time I even mentioned it. It wasn't even in my actual pitch. If you look at me in front of them. But so as that episode re-aired, like they came for me on YouTube. They're still coming for me on YouTube. When they post it on their Shark Tank page on Facebook, like it's kind of sad, right? Because that's something that I'm extremely proud of. I'm extremely proud, right? Not something that I consistently brag about, but I put it on my packaging because when Black people see it, I want them to see it and be proud. Like, but it's really, really sad that there are lots of negative comments. Like they posted on YouTube, oh, she had me until she pulled the Black card, or what does Black have to do with being with a toothbrush? And so it's sad that you get that type of backlash, but no, it's something that I'm definitely very, very proud of. And you know what, McKinney, I'm going to say it if I want to, in whatever space I want to. So that's just how I feel about that. That's how I feel about that. You know, this is definitely different. This is the first, but you know what? I made the black version of the toothbrush the better version of the toothbrush. Like, not just because it's black, but it's an upgraded version of the white and pink one that I had. It's just an upgraded version. It just happened to be black. I like how it looked.
Yeah.
The design that I wanted, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I know how there can be backlash when you are the first only different, whether you were the first woman, whether, you know, whether someone wanted to pick another label to put you under, like there are always backlash from the people who are not that, if that makes sense.
Wait, hold on. You went out for 1 second. Can you hear me?
Yep. I can hear you.
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
So did that, or has that affected your mental health in any way? Because I know, again, so I have a daughter who, you know, she, I'm going to call her social media famous. On TikTok, she's got over 2 million followers and, you know, high followers on Instagram. But I know that comes with a lot of opinions, a lot of people who obviously, you know, hate themselves. So they project that and they come into your comments with stuff. Mm-hmm. So when you are, you know, labeled as the first black anything, or you are doing anything there, it can affect your mental health with how people come at you. So knowing that people have come at you because of something great that you've created, has that affected you in any way mentally?
I think that initially it did, right? Initially, like the first few times that I received comments, this is even before the toothbrush, just on my platform, for whatever reason, people will come for me. I think initially it did, but I kind of had to step outside myself and just, you have to understand that anything you put on social media, you're putting it out there for people to judge, like whether you want them to or not. So you can't really be mad, or you can't really be too mad over something you really don't have any control over, and you almost kind of have to expect it. Like, things definitely did get worse in terms of people, you know, the people with the, what do they call them? Thug fingers or whatever. Like,
Twitter fingers. Yep. Troll.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It did get a little bit worse after Shark Tank. But no, I don't think that it affected me too much mentally. Like I said, I have an amazing support system, and I tend not to like stress over things that I don't have any control over.
Mm-hmm. So listening to you speak about your support system and your 7 siblings and the weekly Zooms and the connection, like a part of resilience, one of the main pillars is having a healthy community around you. So I feel like that has helped, you know, with how you handle things. But also, I know that for people who either have had a near-death experience or have lost someone extremely close to them, their perception of life is a little different. So you're also a cancer survivor. So I can only imagine the strength of mind that you have presently.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, like, as I said before, I've always been super positive energy all around. I've also, all my life, been super active, just super physically active, right? Super physically. I've always worked out. I've done P90X. I've done T25. Like, I've done all those athletic, crazy, extreme workouts, right? That's just kind of like how I lived my life. In around August, September of 2019, you know, we always... My mom always said, do yourself mammograms, right? I noticed a small lump, and I had never gotten an actual mammogram at that time yet. So I still feel a small lump. That was around August, September. So I'm like, okay, I was thinking I have to see my GYN. I think I had to see her in like November. I was like, I'll wait till November. By the time November came, it went from, you know, those 25-cent gumballs? Mm-hmm. It went from that size to like a tennis ball.
Oh, wow.
In that short period of time. So, of course, as soon as I started, as soon as I was able to see it, I called my doctor, went in there. They did the biopsy. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in January of 2020. That's when I got my diagnosis, right before the pandemic. So at that time, I think there hadn't even been that many cases. The hospitals weren't crazy. By the time she was starting to schedule my surgery around March, she was hesitant because the hospitals, especially here in New York, were insane. they, so she was thinking, and then no one, it was, there was so much uncertainty where they're like, okay, is this going to go away in a couple months? Is it going to come back? How long are we going to be? Then everything shut down. So I had a double mastectomy done in April of 2020. Now, a procedure like that is supposed to, of course, you're supposed to heal for a few days. They made it an in and out, an outpatient surgery. That's how crazy the hospital was. Yes, I could not even spend the night. Not only that, but my family did not want me to spend the night in the hospital.
Yeah.
They were very understaffed. The poor nurse that had me in recovery, there was one nurse for about 12 patients that couldn't do anything for themselves, you know, when you're coming out of anesthesia. My sister, who was a psychiatrist, fought her way into the hospital, unhooked my IV. She unhooked my IV. And we filled out the discharge papers. They basically wheeled me to the curb into my mom's truck. And then they nursed me for that whole week or 2 weeks. Yeah. So I'm so grateful for that. But coming from a mindset where you see your doctor regularly, I used to see my GYN regularly. I was taking vitamins. Like I said, very physically active. Going through that initial surgery, I'm saying to myself, I'm like, oh, let me rewind. So basically the cancer was in one of my breasts. Breast cancer runs in my family. So mm-hmm. I could have only done the single mastectomy. I said, give me the just breasts, take them both. just take them, please. They're trying to kill me. I'll get some more, whatever. And that's kind of like how I looked at it. I've always been the type of person like, okay, you hit me with something. All right, let me do what I need to do to get it over with so I can recover. I can, you know, just let's get it over with. Let's get everything over with. But the problem with that mentality at that time was that because of the state of the world, all of my treatments were not laid out to me right away. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking at that time, I'm going to do the double mastectomy. Chemo was only a possibility at that time. No, my doctor said after the surgery was over, she said, no, you're going to have to go through the 8 rounds of chemo. I had to go through radiation, all of that throughout that year.
Wow.
So I'm scared. I don't really want to discuss it too much because I don't want anybody else to get scared, you know? So it was, there was a lot of that. When do I tell my family? How do I tell my family? Do I wait until I know everything is mapped out and then tell? So there was a lot that went on along with that. So what I was doing was I was doing videos of just before I even told my family, I was doing videos that eventually I did put on YouTube. Once everything was all said and done and I got my strength back, I was like, thank God that I actually recorded this because there's a lot that you don't remember when you're going through something so traumatic like that. You know, there's a ton of things you don't remember.
Your mind shuts down to protect you.
Exactly. So during the pandemic, I'm going through chemo, hair's falling out. I did a video of just like all of it. Cause it was, I had braids in my hair. So I basically just took it all out. That's how strong the chemo was. I could literally just pull it out. So I was just like, you know, I did a video, just pull it out. And I just, you know, and as my hair grew back, I did other videos of just, you know, I'm like, well, I didn't know my face was so pretty. Like I'm giving myself like compliments in the morning. My husband was just loving on me like crazy. Came to every chemo appointment. Now, during that time, no one could go in the hospital with you. So chemo's 5 hours per treatment. So he would literally be outside of Mount Sinai Hospital waiting for me with some vegan food. So that, oh, let me talk about the health journey. I'm sorry. You're talking about health journey. So
I'm getting emotional though, because I'm like, even the support from your husband, I said, that having the healthy community around you when you're going through stuff is a huge part of building the resilience.
It's priceless because you can by yourself say, listen, I'm going to get through this. But when you have, there are times that there's only so many times that you can tell yourself, I'm good. I'm going to get through this. But if you have someone around you like when you do have doubts, that person is like, come on, babe, you got this. Come on. I know you're tired. I know you can't taste this food, but come on, let's eat it. I made it for you. Eat it. You know what I mean? So yeah, I was very, very blessed to have him. Between chemo, between the finishing up chemo and starting radiation, my husband opened up a juice bar. That's what I'm drinking right now. So that was another part of our health journey. He opened up a juice bar, which was amazing. He gels his own sea moss. Sea moss was life for me during that. Mm-hmm. Because it just gives you that natural energy. And I didn't know anything about it before chemo, before cancer. So yeah, we changed our whole fitness regimen. So instead of, because you don't have a lot of energy during chemo, instead of doing actual workouts together, we started a yoga journey. So we did together, he and I did 3 30-day yoga challenges.
Wow.
So we did, yeah, we were in there doing literally, we were in our living room, started out looking crazy, but it just, you know, we went from not knowing too much about the poses to turning into yogis and setting the tone for the rooms, getting the aromatherapy together. Even on the days that I felt super, super weak, I would just lay on my mat while he would just like stretch me. That was, you have me getting choked up now. I usually don't even tell these stories. Oh my gosh. I'm just grateful, Makini, just so grateful that I was able to come out on the other end of that journey, being even more positive before, because you get a different outlook on life. It makes you want to do all the traveling. You know, well, once I was able to travel, I was like, we're getting out of here.
Where are we going?
I want to see the world. And you know, and I didn't want to work so much anymore. I wanted to, you know, I stopped teaching. I stopped working Saturdays. I was working 6 days a week for years. And after that experience, I'm like, no, I'm taking my Saturdays back. You know what else? I'm taking off Mondays. So, yep. So my work gets shorter. Yeah, I'm definitely staying healthy. So not only am I, you know, into physical health, I'm definitely into mental health and meditation, which is another thing we got into, meditation, when we started doing yoga. Mm-hmm. Like, I never realized how important it is to stop your brain every now and then.
Yeah.
Right? High power, high energy my whole life. The practice of meditation, it took me a minute, because even when you calm down and you start breathing, something always comes into your brain. So it's like a practice. You have to practice in order for it to work. But once you get it down, meditation is almost as good as sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It's probably even better. Like, yeah. I had to learn recently how to understand. So I started meditating a few years ago. I won't get into it, but I had my own cancer scare in 2019. Mm-hmm. I had to have a hysterectomy, the whole nine yards. But in that, I learned to start meditating. Every day I was meditating, and I used to try to encourage friends to meditate, and they would all say to me, oh, I can't, you know, it makes me more anxious. I sit there, there's too many thoughts, da, da, da. But I've learned recently, it's like, we think that we're supposed to go into meditation to only calm our feelings. But there are many people where it just allows them to feel. Because they're so used to being busy. They're so used to having so much noise around them, background noise, outside noise, quiet noise, just noise, that the meditation allows the stillness of their mind. So yes, you're going to have a busy, because you're actually hearing your thoughts for the first time. You're actually aware of what is happening. So for some people, it may not be meditating to feel calm. For some people, it's meditating to feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like I was saying to you before, I started traveling and my life still started to get pretty busy. And there's this show, I don't know if I can say, I can say the name of the show on here.
Yep.
Okay. So there's a show called Living by Design, and it's with Jake and Jazz Smollett, the Smollett family.
Yep.
And they redo a room in your home. So they asked me if I wanted to do it. I'm like, sure. So basically they created a meditation space for me. This is very recent.
Wow.
So my extra room in my house. And it's so funny, because if you see the show, when they show the before pictures, you can tell. She said, Jazz said, this room looks like chaos. She's like, there are like 4 still packed suitcases that are still packed. The closet looks crazy. Like, you could tell that I just went in there, dropped things off, and then would just try to, you know, use the after work hours, a couple of after work hours to relax. But I would, that room just looks so chaotic. But the after video, they use neutral colors. They put plants in there. They took the television out. Like, it just looks amazing. And I use it. I still use it. And it's very helpful.
Yeah.
They're all very helpful. Very
powerful. I love that. I think sometimes people don't understand the importance of clarity of their space. I know from myself, I learned like probably more than 15 years ago, like the state of my house says a lot about what's going on in my mind. When my space is clear and I feel at peace in my space and it's calm, the energy is calm, it's clean, I feel calm and at peace in my mind. But when my house is chaotic and my kids have stuff everywhere and, you know, there's just laundry piling up and all, like my head just feels chaotic.
My phone is doing something crazy. No, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So I love how you've holistically been able to have this approach to health. You know, the physical working out, the juicing, you know, the yoga, the meditation, just having the different levels of healing. I think we're so used to, and we've been ingrained now with today's society, you know, to run to the doctor for everything or to look for medication for everything. When if we were to really look at things, we are able to heal ourselves. It's about what we put into our bodies, what we put into our minds, what we put into our souls. If you get a cut right now, you don't need to go to the doctor to heal that cut. You heal yourself, right?
Your body heals itself. Yes.
Your body heals itself. So if, and I'm, how do I say this? There have been many healthy people that still ended up getting cancer or some other disease, right? There are some things we cannot control. But at the same time, in terms of our healing journey, there is so much that we can do that is beneficial for ourselves on all different levels, not just physical. So I love you have this holistic healing journey.
Yes, me too. It's so important. It's so essential. And it's all, sometimes it's something that you don't even know you need. You know, like I didn't really, even, you know, before I went through that cancer journey, it's something I didn't know I needed. I'm thinking I'm good. I'm healthy. I go to the doctor. I brush and floss. I'm aware.
Mm-hmm.
No, sometimes you just have to take a step back and, you know, it might be a positive or a negative thing that you get hit with that just allows you to think about it and say, oh, well, maybe I'll get a little taste of this. Or maybe it takes a friend to say, come meditate with me for 5 minutes. And then you see the effect of it. And then you continue that or you put that into your regimen as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So before we go to the final segment of the show, I want you to tell the listeners where they can stay connected with you, where they can learn more from you and about you.
Yes. So my name is Dr. Bobby Peterson. On Instagram, I am Dr. Bobby. I have a website that's all things Dr. Bobby. And my YouTube channel is Being Bobby. I curate my own page, my own personal page. So this is how I am a mentor to so many people. I love doing that. Anyone who has science or engineering students that want to hear about my story, I speak with them through my DMs usually. My office, Aces Braces, I have one here in Brooklyn, New York, and I also have one in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. All the information for that is on my website.
Awesome. Awesome. So we'll definitely have all the links to your website and your socials in the detailed section below the episode so they can just click and connect with you directly.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So the final segment of the show is kind of like a rapid fire. We'll ask a couple of reflection questions and you can answer the first thing that comes to mind, whether it be one word or one sentence. But if you feel to expand, you are more than welcome to do so.
Okay. Sounds like fun.
Okay. Name a book that has changed or greatly impacted your life.
I think I would have to say, and this is going to sound funny, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. I read that when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And it just exposed a lot of issues for a young girl that I just couldn't imagine myself. So, you know, things that just broaden your awareness when you're at a young age. Yeah.
Okay. When was the last time you cried?
10 minutes ago. Yeah, but those were tears of just gratitude though. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I can't remember the last time that I cried tears of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Okay. Okay. So, okay. So when and where are you the happiest?
Oh, right now I'm the happiest around family doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. To do nothing.
Love it.
Every Mother's Day, that's what makes me smile. My daughter, we just do nothing.
That sounds perfect. Okay. What's the first thing you do in the morning and the last thing you do at night?
Give me a second, Ozzy. Give me a second. The first thing I do in the morning, I sit up, I drink water, and I pray. Say a small prayer of gratitude. Not long, just, you know, God, thank you so much. And the last thing I do before I go to sleep, I don't know. I've been like binge watching things. Like, the TV is on. I usually like just fall asleep while the TV is on. So I can't really tell like what my mindset is, but usually that's what I'm doing. I'm watching TV.
Okay, that's
fair. Sounds boring, but
it's honest. Okay, last but not least, what do you wish women would do more of?
Love yourselves. Love ourselves. I wish women, more women would just love themselves. And it's so funny because I'm, and this is so like kind of like off topic, but I'm hosting a speed dating event. And I did an interview on a show about it. And, you know, the host asked me, what do you think the women should walk in there with? I said, they should walk in there with self-love and positivity because it radiates from you. Regardless, mm-hmm. Don't walk in there like, oh, I got to find a man. No, walk in there. Yeah, let that self-love radiate from you. Make it contagious. You know what I mean? Love on yourself. Like, yes, pamper yourself. Whatever you need to do. At least a little bit of day, a little bit of time every day. Just give yourself that self-love. Like, I love this lip gloss. I look so sexy. Like, you know, anything. Any kind of compliment that you can give yourself to give you that positivity, because it really is contagious.
It absolutely is. Like, I feel it radiating off of you right now. Like, thank you, Dr. Bobby, for sharing your energy with us today.
Thank you for having me, McKinney. I hope to see you soon. This was fun.
Yes, absolutely. And now I know next time. So I was just in New York a month ago. So when I come back, I'll hit you up. But I just want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. You know, I appreciate your transparency. I appreciate your positivity, even the gems that you shared, you know, with the women that are listening. Hopefully they took some notes on yoga and meditation and all the goodness that you shared with us today. So thank you.
Thank you. This is an amazing platform. All the best.
Thank you. And to all of you healers out there, until next time, don't forget to subscribe or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We would love to hear what part of Dr. Bobby's story resonated with you. What part of her story gave you some aha moments? I just want to thank each and every one of you that continues to listen each week to help the show rank globally in the top 1.5% of most popular shows. Feel free to screenshot this week's episode. You can tag Dr. Bobby at I am Dr. Bobby. That's IAMDRBOBBI. Or you can tag myself at The Real McKinney Smith. A healthy community is a healing community. And a healing community is full of hope because it has seen its own people weather, survive, and thrive. So let's continue to heal her.